Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprints, Don Nikoloff.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on this April the 8th on the West Coast, April 9th on the East Coast, and in the Central Time Zones. So nice to have you with us this evening. Got another great show for you tonight. I misspoke last night, and for those of you who tuned in to hear Ken Adachi, he is on tomorrow. I didn't have my schedule right before me. And I certainly knew who my guest was tonight. I just messed up, and that happens once in a while. Of course, you can always look at the schedule, which is posted on my website, directlightproductions.com. If you're ever in doubt, you can actually read up on the whole month worth of guests that are posted there. Well, lots going on, and we have been recently focusing on the spiritual aspects of what we're facing here on planet Earth, not just here in the United States, but all around the world. The world's finances are collapsing, and well, they should, because they're made out of thin air. And I've been talking for quite a long time about illusions and the deeper understanding I gained within the past couple of weeks about how illusory this world is. And I've tried to present the material that corresponds with one's responsibility. You are responsible for yourself. No one else is responsible for you. And we've provided some solutions along those lines. We don't just leave you hanging out there to dry. We try to encourage you to study, to do some research. We're not asking you to believe anything. There's enough of that going on already, which is at the center of our problems, is that we're assuming things are so because somebody else is telling us that. And that includes what you hear on this show. However, if you do some research, you'll find out that you'll discover many of the same things. I've been doing quite a bit of research and trying to update my website, and in the process, I'm finding people that I know to be genuine and truth tellers, truth seekers, and light bearers are being portrayed as frauds and disgruntled people. Basically, that's how disinformation gets spread. So you have to use your own discernment, and I recommend using your heart and not your head. Everything that's directed to you is designed to control your thoughts, and to control your actions by controlling your thoughts and controlling your feelings or suppressing your feelings. And most of all, they're used to separate you from your Creator and the gifts that your Creator has bestowed upon you. Because it's very simple. When you realize the illusions, it's very simple to turn in a different direction and create something anew. With that, I would like to welcome back to Evident Footprints a good friend of mine who I was introduced to by Mr. Rick Adams. He has appeared a number of times on Rick Adams' Uncensored Radio Free, or I should say Radio Free Uncensored America. I think it's Uncensored Radio Free America on Republic Broadcasting Network. And Rick has been on this show a number of times, and when I heard tonight's guest, I told him I wanted to get him on this show because he has a very interesting background, and he is also a biblical scholar. And at the same time, he also knows how to interpret Scripture in a very matter-of-fact, in a plain, understandable way. And his name is Joe Church. Joe, welcome to Evident Footprints.
Thank you very much, Don. And I think we're going to have a very interesting program tonight.
Well, let's hope so. And I got to remind you to make sure you speak up so we get a good level from you.
All right, Don. Yeah, I'll try to do that.
Okay. Joe, the last time you were on the show, we covered the whole gamut of spirituality and responsibility, and you had brought up the point that that God basically was giving us the opportunity now to make a choice, and that choice was going to affect our individual role in eternity, and it had everything to do with where that was going to occur. And I got a lot of email from people in regard to that show. And though we're not trying to mock anyone's religion or put it down, or their faith, let's say, we're giving you the opportunity to show your faith and your understanding of your faith and your understanding of God's Word. And you have a way of bringing it into a perspective that someone can use. They don't necessarily have to join a particular church to follow that. In fact, you have much to say about that. So I wanted to allow you at least to make some opening comments as to what you feel you'd like to discuss this evening.
Okay, Don. The first thing I'd like to say is we have to focus on one particular city in the world, and that's going to set the tone for everything else we're going to say tonight. That particular city happens to be, in the scriptures, the Heavenly Father's favorite place on this earth, the place that is his, you know how when we were a young child, we always had a favorite spot in the neighborhood that we liked to visit, and it was kind of our place where we liked to be alone, and we just went there, and it was just a nice place to be, and we felt very comfortable there.
Mm-hmm.
My father had the place on this earth that he feels very comfortable with, and it's one of seven hills or mountain ranges, a series of seven mountain ranges, one of them of which is known as Mount Zion or Jerusalem, and as we know it today.
Mm-hmm.
This is his favorite spot on the earth. And what do we have here today? We have all of the world focusing on that one particular city, trying to figure out how they can bring peace to that area. This is a place that's Father's favorite spot, yet the turmoil just continues to go on, and the ripple effects of it go worldwide. And both man and beast, if you will, are trying to get a resolution to this. But in any event, we see the entire world focusing on that one little geographical spot of real estate. It's a very, very focal point in the end times.
Now, don't you find it ironic, Joe, that those that inhabit that city right now are instrumental in creating havoc all over the rest of the world?
Yes, and contrary to the scriptures, that would be a place in which all the kings of the earth would visit. And come from all nations of the earth to visit the Lord, and he would give them direction as to what they should bring back to their peoples.
Mm-hmm.
You see, that's the millennium. That's when you're not in the flesh body. That's going to take place. Most people are teaching that today, and that's why they're so bewildered, because they're trying to take a millennial event and fit it into the flesh age. And this is where the problems come in. They can't see why this prophecy cannot come to pass.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pulling from Isaiah 65, 18 and 19, and Micah chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. So we see highly influential people in this world trying to make a millennial event fit into the flesh age, the end of this flesh age, and it just won't work.
Well, yeah, you're speaking about a spiritual event. And
exactly.
Yes.
When the Lord dwells in that mountain, and by the way, Ezekiel 44 gives the dimensions, 44, 45, 46, 47, gives the dimensions of that city, and also in the book of Revelation, it gives the dimensions of the city, the millennial temple, and that millennial temple is a 1,500 miles long, 1,500 miles wide, and 1,500 miles high. It's going to be a 1,500-mile cube just for that millennial temple. So if you fit those dimensions over Jerusalem today, that temple itself is going to go into the Mediterranean Sea.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
So they're trying to make something fit, Don, in the flesh age that shouldn't even be presented. And this is where the trouble is all coming in. They're trying to force this event before its time.
Well, do you think, I would discern that on the basis of everything else that's going on the planet right now, that this is their attempt, let's say, to go in there and take control before God, the Creator, could do that.
Exactly. And that's the same thing that Satan did at the end of the First World Age. He went to the Holy Mountain, and he took the mercy seat, which is where that throne of the Heavenly Father was. In the First World Age, non-flesh age, they're doing the same exact thing all over again at the end of this Second Age. And we're right at the door of the end of this age. It's right at hand. So they're doing the same thing again that they did in the First World Age.
Mm-hmm.
Satan wanted that throne in Jerusalem, the Father's throne. And the problem comes in where in the scriptures Jesus says, know the parable of the fig tree, Matthew 24. We know that in the Old Testament there are the good and the bad figs planted in Jerusalem, prophecy. So the good and the bad figs, according to many scholars in our country, pre-1948, they knew that the good and the bad figs would be planted according to the 70 weeks of Daniel and Jeremiah. But they just didn't know who these people were. So we've got the good and the bad figs planted. Now, we can't confuse the good figs with the bad figs, but we have to be aware that the good figs are also there. And that these bad figs hide within the good figs.
Mm-hmm.
They nest in a rock. You see, they always hide. And fig leaf means something hidden. Adam and Eve, the specific Adam, Etah Adam, the seventh, the eighth day creation, not the sixth day creation in Genesis. When they found out that they were naked, they put fig leaves over their genitals. They had to have fig aprons. They had to have aprons they put over their genitals so that they hid something. They put them fig leaves. It means something hidden. Well, there was something in their genitals that they were hiding. And that was that bad fig.
Now, so the parable of the figs is basically, one could interpret that to mean the false prophets, for example, or just the lies that Satan would tell. In other words, he would couch his intentions in the truth, a little bit of truth, and eventually revealing the lies, like what we have going on right now.
Exactly. Just look in your four hidden dynasties, and we've got it right in all of them. Political, economic, educational, religious.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly truth, but that little hook of falsity. And that's what makes the whole thing so so deceptive.
And of course,
so most of the truth.
Yeah, if the inside of the fig is bad, then that's suggesting that the seed is also bad.
Right. In nature, in Jerusalem, in that area today, and by the way, Adam and Eve had to have been in a fig grove to get those fig leaves to put over their genitals. But in the in today's, at the area of Jerusalem today, there are good and bad figs, literally good and bad fig trees that grow. I think they call it Capri and Smyrna figs. And one's very poisonous and bitter in real life. And the other one is very nutritious and very good for you.
Mm-hmm.
So you have a very good example physically and spiritually.
Now,
we have to be aware of that one thing, that the good and the bad are there.
Mm-hmm.
And that we have to think appropriately. I don't like to tell people how to think. I'd like to teach them how to think for themselves.
Yeah.
I don't want to tell them what to think. But I want to teach them how to think for themselves. So, and you do a good job of that, I might add.
I don't know. I don't know about that. Certainly. You know, I present what I feel is the truth as best as it can be revealed to us. And I'm no exception from that rule. I mean, we have so many different kinds of information coming at us from every angle. And I have to, step back even within the realm of my research. I've got to step back and discern what's going on, what it is, what path I'm following, what I'm discovering. And I may have an intention in the beginning that completely changes as I discover certain things. It becomes revealed really what the higher purpose is for the work that I'm doing. And those of us who are researchers all take that approach. We're after something that's been hidden from us. And that in and of itself right there, that these things are hidden from us, and I don't mean necessarily that God is hiding the truth, because he's constantly trying to tell us the truth or present it to us. It's everything else that diverts our attention away from, the source and the means through which to make that connection, that special connection with the source. And that is, as I've mentioned many times on the show and many of my guests, that comes from the heart. You know, the heart is a sort of an antenna and a transmitter together. And in a sense, the mind is too. The mind has been conditioned to become, let's say, the false heart, where all our attention gets directed to the mind. And that actually precipitates the illusion that we do not have a creator, or that our creator doesn't care about us, and therefore we have a host of other possibilities presented to us, and people fall to various types of temptation and corruption. And thinking that it's all okay, it's all acceptable, because everyone is involved in it. And when I say everyone, I mean large numbers of people, the majority of the people. So I do what I can, and I allow others to do that same thing, and I encourage the listening audience to discover that for themselves. They're listening because they want to hear the truth, and hopefully they're recognizing it when they do. But it there's more involved than just listening to it, isn't there, Joe?
Sure is. You know, throughout history, Don, we've always seen that the majority has always been wrong. You go with the majority, it's a problem. Because Satan's children through the ages have always been there working their magic.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, especially in these end times, Don, we're following the majority. We're going to go down that wrong path. It's going to be the road less traveled.
Mm-hmm.
If you're in a very small minority, chances are you're in the truth. You're not buying the deception. The deception comes in mightily these end times, through your media, through your TV sets, your radio, the mind control, the methods of mind control, awesome that they're using today. Things that we would not even think of are being bombarded into our brains from the TV set and even the radio, high-powered commercials. You might think of it as a huge cult.
Mm-hmm.
Am I using the right word, cult?
Yeah, yeah.
A worldwide cult that works through four dynasties, which is teaching people what they should think, setting the tone for unsuspecting viewers and listeners to buy the lie that they're peddling.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so hidden in the commercials and in the content of the TV sets, which actually hypnotizes a person. If you watch a person, look at a person that's watching TV, it'd be almost like they're hypnotized. You actually see them moving their body, their head, because of the commercial, and you can tell that it's affecting them.
Oh, yeah, that's obvious. I mean, it happens, it occurs through the pixelation that occurs right on the screen itself. It doesn't matter what the content is. There's a very specific way that images are reproduced, and the energy that's emanating, or the radiation that's emanating from the screen has an effect, and also the sound definitely is used as a means of control to set up a particular kind of empathy between the viewer and the content that they want one to follow.
Right.
Kids are an excellent example, because they'll watch a food commercial, and the next thing they do is they ask for food, even after they've just eaten. Or they ask for toys, or whatever the enticement is. And grown-ups are the same way.
Right. They know.
I don't know. Yeah, go ahead.
They know how to get to people. They know their inner and outer workings. And they make studies of it, huge studies. They want to find out what's in your psyche, in your mind, in your thoughts, and in your beings. And then mm-hmm. they play on it. I wrote a paper when I was a young kid in school, The Effects of TV on Children. And one of the things that I came to the conclusion was the antidote for the effects of TV on the mind, the antidote for that was reading the scriptures, or reading, I'm sorry, in those days it was reading the comic strips. That was the antidote. And an antidote is something that balances off or takes you out of the mind control of it. And that was reading the comic strips. But see, in this latter time, as I've grown older, I see that the real antidote for the brainwashing that's being used through the media and television is to read the scriptures, not the comic strips. The scriptures is the true antidote. That's why I'd like to mention that Jeremiah 24 talks about the two baskets of figs. I'd highly encourage everyone to check that chapter out. That's Jeremiah 24. And also Jeremiah 23, for the false pastors, the pastors that destroy the sheep, the pasture. Read that entire chapter and see if it doesn't fit to today very, very nicely, what we just said.
Now, for those listeners out there that are of a different faith, or for those, and even an atheist is practicing a faith, if it's a faith of non-belief, or non-trust in anything greater, I suppose one doesn't have to really consider responsibility at all, do they? In other words, if there are no consequences to one's action, then there is no purpose in life. Now, that's not to say that someone who's a Buddhist or a Muslim or even a Jew practicing the Hebrew faith is not following a particular path if the religion itself or that faith itself is a true faith. It's going to lead those people to God anyway. But it's when it's substituted for what is not of God that that problems arise.
Right.
They practice the Hebrew faith in Jerusalem. Now, if it was God's intention to raise that city up again to its former glory, then one would presume that if practicing the Hebrew faith was contrary to his word, that he would stamp it out.
Right.
Or Buddhism. And there, just as there are different faiths or denominations within the Christian faith, there are different denominations in Buddhism and in the Muslim religion. But there are also parallels to Christ's teaching in these other religions. You can tell when you're hearing God's word.
Right.
And I'm not this isn't a show to say one religion is over another.
No.
I've even said no one Christ didn't ask anyone to start a religion in his name. It's not right. That wasn't his message at all. That was man's doing, and it has become one of the tools, as you've already mentioned, that are used to control people. And you brought up the word cult, which it would be the following of a principle and obeying the leadership as if that person was the highest being that could be worshipped. It's actually worshipping that being, really, because there's so much false doctrine brought out within the context of a cult. Do you agree with that?
I agree. And we have to point out, too, that cult doesn't, to be a cult doesn't mean you have to be a small group. A cult can be a majority of the people of the world chasing after one particular objective, brainwashing its members. So it could be an entire huge government. It's actually a cult.
Mm-hmm.
It's brainwashing huge masses of people.
Or it could be a body like the United Nations.
Body like the United Nations. That's a perfect example. I mean, in the scriptures, as I read through the scriptures, Jeremiah 25, for example, and Jeremiah just means he who God launches forth, if you translate that name.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm reading the book of He Who God Launches Forth. let's leave religion out of this.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Let me read this one passage that's universal. And all the kings of the north and far and near, this is Jeremiah 25:26. All the kings of the north, far and near, one with another, and all the kingdoms of the world, sound familiar?
Mm-hmm.
Which are upon the face of the earth, and the king of Shishak shall drink after them. Or Shishak, from the Masorah, Masoretic scribes have an explanation, a footnote, special acrostics and rubrics that they point out this particular verse. That word Shishak is in the Masorah means Babel, and it's a cipher. So, without going into a lot of explanation, what it is the king of Babel shall drink after them. The king of Babel today is the king of Babylon, who is Satan himself. He's gathering all the nations of the world to one worldism.
Mm-hmm.
Ultimately, this one worldism will, the political leaders will, through osmosis, turn religious. And if you listen closely today, you can even hear them quoting scripture. It's politicians starting to quote scripture. If you listen closely.
Mm-hmm.
It's being metamorphosized into a religious beast or a religious system. And this includes all the kingdoms of the world.
Yeah.
All these religions of the world are being meshed into one. If you look real closely, that's why the countries of the world cannot understand what their leaders are doing.
Yeah, this is...
It doesn't make any sense for them.
Yes, to create confusion.
That's it, and that's where they operate at their best. When they create the confusion, nobody knows what's going on, and they can work their magic.
Well, that becomes...
King of Babel.
Yeah, that becomes quite evident.
Now, this is universal, I bet, John, Don, to all the deep thinkers of every religion on the face of the earth today. I don't know the other people's scriptures, but I would imagine that this is in there because the Father's fear to all. It's
mm-hmm.
just very few that he's opened their eyes to see this. I believe that your listeners can see this. They have the ability to do that.
Yeah. I've had Dr. Kasim Khalil on the show, Dr. K, as he's called,
yes.
And I know you've heard him speak before, and you may have even read some of his writings, and he has been adamant in saying that the Muslim religion or Islam is not anything like what it's described. Well, who is telling us what is in Islam? Isn't it the media? Isn't it those that control the media, the Zionist bankers, and all the secret societies that work hand in hand with them in their deception, in their corruption, in their deceit, and their thievery? So they have to create a bad guy. A boogeyman, as we often refer to it. And nothing gets people more heated up than, let's say, religious argument over whose God is greater or whose faith is greater.
Right.
And they invent many phrases. They invent actually even... whole situations that stories around what they are creating so that they can blame it on someone other than themselves. That's part of that deception too. And it's magnified when you have the so-called religious leaders, especially here in the United States. The TV evangelists are probably the most notorious for doing this, promoting Israel as if Israel somehow should get some special dispensation, that Israel has always suffered through eternity and has always gotten a raw deal. Israel wants peace. And yet Israel is a place, Israel is a people, and it's not the people who are running the place. You know? And I'm speaking of the Zionists, or the Kenites, or the Edomites.
Right. Yep. Many of your big teachers today, so-called teachers that have these programs that are going worldwide. And I speak from the Christian perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Messiah man. When I say Christian, I mean Messiah man. That's what Christian means, Messiah man. People who watch for the Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
True Israel has had their identity stolen. True Israel has had their birthright stolen.
Mm-hmm.
By the people of Genesis 4. The genealogy of Cain. And never will you find Adam mentioned in Cain's genealogy. Never, 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 no matter what Bible you go to. And Cain is never mentioned in Adam's genealogy, chapter 5. Cain went to the land of Nod to take a wife. The land of Nod, and I have witnessed to many Chinese, because Nod is a land of an Oriental tribe.
Mm-hmm.
And many Chinese, who, by the way, went out of their way to bring their families to meet me because of the things that I brought forth to them. And it was really humbling to have these people send for their families in China, bring them to Rhode Island, and just have the opportunity to share some ideas and things with them. These were physicists from the University of Rhode Island. It was quite a humbling experience. I was doing kind of a lowly job there, and have these highly educated Chinese people bring their families over was amazing to me. Couldn't really understand it, but it was the Father's word that they were really understanding. So they confirmed that the land of Nod would be that land of, in those days, the land of Mongolia.
Mm-hmm.
That's where Cain went to take that wife.
Now, you and I had an opportunity off the air to discuss this a little bit, and I went a little bit into the background of where those people originally came from. And I mentioned to you that those were the people who were known as the Bon, B-O-N, and they migrated from, they were cave dwellers in Tibet, and they migrated to Mongolia. So the Bon became the Mon around the time of Genghis Khan, and when they... They even came to America. Those same people came to America and set up secret settlements in Montauk on the eastern end of Long Island.
That's right.
Yeah. And now, Genghis Khan had a son named Tule, or some pronounce it Tula, but Tule is the society, one of the two secret societies that were promoted by the Nazis, or the Ashkenazis.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, they're known from the times prior to World War II and throughout World War II, and they're still alive and well today.
Mm-hmm.
mentioned to you that, and this goes way back to Egypt, because there has always been a connection with Egypt.
Sure.
Back in the days of Moses. Now, letting one's people go and letting and the people making that decision on their own, despite the biblical account, the reality was that the people that went to work in Egypt went there because they had no work. They had no means of income, and they went there, and their goal was to actually steal the alchemy or steal the magic of the Egyptians, which they did, and they've used it ever since. But they've used it for very sinister purposes. And when they ended up coming to America and settling in Montauk, and Montauk has it has a very sinister connection to mind control and an advanced what would you call it? Let's say interfering with universal law, you know, time travel and all kinds of really outrageous technology that's used there. And they went to Montauk and basically stole that land from the Montauk Indians. And the Montauk Indians leader were of the Pharaoh family. So there is a mystical connection to Egypt there. You see, and in a sense, they go full circle. They left Egypt, but they basically tried to recreate another Egypt in Montauk. And they did this underground. They had to hide. Okay? So not to steer you off base, but that connection is there all the way up into our times. These are the same people that originated in Tibet.
Right, right. Yes.
And always masking who they are, okay?
Right, right.
Go ahead,
Joe. I would bet you a dollar to donuts, Don, that every religion in the world knows about what I refer to as the bad fakes in their own religion.
Mm-hmm.
The bad fakes within their own. Maybe it's phrased a little differently, but the spirit is there. They intuitively know that the bad fig is hidden within. And I haven't read all the scriptures of different peoples of the earth, but I would bet you a dollar to donuts that it's in there, because the Father always gives the truth to all so that those that will be able to pick it out, those that should, and they'll be able to have that spirit and that knowledge that something is hidden within. It's just not right.
Mm-hmm. Now, I wonder, you used the term nod. Of course, I've heard of that before, and I was just thinking, backwards, that's Don. So you have the Bon, the Mon, and the Don. That happens to be my name. But
yeah.
Is it possible that that was intentionally reversed just to hide where it was?
In the Hebrew tongue, Don, D-O-N, or D-N, in the ancient Hebrew, no vowels, involved. That means judge.
Mm-hmm.
Which is kind of interesting. Like Daniel,
mm-hmm.
being the judge of God.
Daniel, yeah.
Yep. Hell is God. Dan is judge.
Yeah.
Or God judges.
Well, the Celtic translation of Don or Donald is chief.
Okay.
Or strong leader.
Right.
So it's similar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, but, you know, I often talk about the upside down triangle. Now this is the Kenite triangle. It's actually upside down. And I see it, I visualize it as from, Russia to China to Jerusalem, forms an upside-down triangle if you make those point A to point B.
Mm-hmm.
So we have the Kenite triangle, a very powerful triangle. In other words, Nod would be China. Cain, ancestry, hidden within the Chinese.
Mm-hmm.
We have the Edomites, Esau. We have also Cain controlling and infiltrating through the Khazars, the Khazars or the Caesars that migrated from Rome to, up into Russia.
Mm-hmm.
And along with them went the Kenites went with them. So you have that Kenite triangle working. And they would be very powerful in the end times. Most people not knowing the bad figs that are in Jerusalem.
Yeah. Well, when you mention now, you mentioned the upside down triangle, you're saying the point is in the center, but at the bottom of the triangle. When you take that triangle and superimpose it over the one of the faces of the pyramid, which is the point is going upward, you get what is sometimes, and I think erroneously, referred to as the Star of David.
Okay.
When you take those two triangles and superimpose them, you get a six-pointed star.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Do you want to expand on that a little bit?
No, I just wanted... I was just visualizing that and thought I would mention that.
Very good, yes. Yeah, yeah.
And that's, again, tying to the Egyptian, you see.
Yes, definitely, yes. And remember the stone in which the builders rejected, that self-same pyramid of Giza, still to this day does not have that capstone on it.
Mm-hmm.
Capstone that the builders rejected. This would be, I believe that pyramid of Giza is the Bible written in stone on this earth. All the mathematics in that pyramid, that particular pyramid.
Mm-hmm.
The joints being a 32nd of an inch, the glue in the joints that no company can produce today.
Yes.
No company on the face of the earth could reproduce that today with all its technology. Couldn't even come close to doing the chambers and the perfection that's in that pyramid.
Yeah, and they tell us that it was rolled up there with logs, those huge stones. You know?
That's amazing.
Yeah, that's been a topic on a number of shows, and that's been an area of my research for a number of years.
Yeah.
You know, the pyramid is loaded with sacred numbers and sacred measurements.
Sacred inches, yes. That's right. Prophecy is in that pyramid now. It's all prophetic. You got the chamber that goes down underground. There's an underground chamber. They call it the pit.
Mm-hmm.
It has markings, hash marks, as it goes down. All prophetic, Don. If you count the numbers, you start doing the mathematics of it. It's phenomenal. The king and the queen's chambers. Just a phenomenal piece of work. And it's a mystery to men today. They have all kind of theories and this and that about it, but even with the scriptures, many people have different theories on how to interpret it and what it's all about and this and that. So, I mean, it makes sense. It makes sense.
Now, there's a pyramid. I don't know if I think it's called the Shenzi Pyramid in China.
Okay.
Which has basically been hidden from us, certainly hidden from the mainstream. And I'm not exactly familiar with what the Chinese take is on it, although they know that it's a very important building. And I understand it's larger than the pyramids in Egypt.
meeting? That's interesting.
And of course, there were pyramids all throughout the earth.
Sure, sure. The Mayan pyramids, the Aztec pyramids.
Mm-hmm.
We even had the mound builders in the United States. Maybe temporary makeshift high places as they migrated and traveled. I believe that there's a place in, Newark, Ohio. There's a huge earthworks there, Don. And I believe, according to my studies, that people came from all over the world to this one place. It was an ingathering. Once a year took place. And they actually have an earthworks. It's huge areas of land. You can only see it from an airplane where they actually dug out gullies, maybe 20 feet, and made 20-foot mounds.
Mm-hmm.
And it's circular, and they all have a meaning, and they walk, these people all walk through this. A massive area and a massive amount of people gathered from all nations of the world to walk this site, and it had to do with universal knowledge. And that's in Newark, Ohio. They made a golf course out of it today just to preserve it, and I guess the money that they received from the golf course pays the taxes on the land and preserves it as a historic place. But that's known as the
I think they refer to it as the burial mounds, actually.
Okay.
Some call it the mystery mound.
Okay. I'm sorry for the lack of the name of the site, but it's the well-known site to those that are into epigraphy and I just can't think of it down. Newark, Ohio.
That's
where Newark, Ohio. Maybe the next time I come on, I'll have that name for you. But the upside down triangle, Don, I'd like to pursue that a little bit because there's a lot of prophecy from what I can see in the scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
We were talking off the program earlier that there's a very good possibility that America will buck the Kenite one world government. And I made the statement to you that if they did, if the U.S. bucks the Kenites, which events could take place in which there could be a reaction to this one-worldism through finances, because we know that finances make people, their pocketbook, their wallet, will get their attention. And when they're hit hard, they will actually buck this one-world system. Now, if the United States does, and I think it's very possible, and I still watch for this five-month period, events could take place in these next month and a half. They could be very catalytic. In other words, this could be the catalyst to bring in that five-month period of deception, of peace and prosperity that the world has never seen. But events that might take place in the next month and a half to 2 months could be unbelievable to bring that about.
Do you want to expound on that a little bit?
Yes, the Kenites are in control of every nation in the world at this time. Every nation. Barring none. Even though it might seem like there are nations that are rebel nations, it's all illusion. They are all together in this pact. And if America and maybe one or two other countries, the way I see it, backs out of this thing, the Kenites have the ultimate weapon. Even though they're the smallest people on the earth, they have the ultimate weapon in that the Kenite is in Jerusalem, let's say Moscow, And I say that the people of these three countries are beautiful people. It's the leadership. It's the leadership that are of Kenite origin. They have the Russian, the Chinese, and the power head in Jerusalem. They control these two armies. They and now control the largest army in the world. When you put those two together, I'm not talking about the people, I'm talking about governments. Those two will come against this country. And they're going to come against the biggest troublemakers. I think you know who those are. But
let me think. Bill Clinton? No.
they are the Kenites' ultimate weapon. And, of course, that's Ezekiel 38 and 39, as it's mentioned. The Kenite army. And that would lead to a five-month period. Now, people ask me about this five-month period, where I get it from. If you go to Revelation chapter 9, I'm going to read it. It talks about this, let me read it. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. And in those days men shall seek death and shall not find it, and they shall desire to die, and the death shall flee from them. And the shapes of the locusts, that's what they were, described as. This Kenite army was described as locusts. Were like the horses. Horses in the scriptures would be Bible scholars. Prepared unto battle. And on their heads were, as it were, crowns of gold. And their faces were as the faces of men. Ah, see? These locusts mm-hmm. had the faces of men, and they had hair as the hair of woman. In other words, they were very gentle and very soft-spoken, and their teeth were the teeth of lions. They looked very good. They looked very pleasant and very pretty and very good-looking, but their mouths were full of viciousness with their lies. So, this is that five-month period that I refer to. And I'm watching this summer. I'm still watching this summer because I know the Father can cause things to come about instantly. I know there's other things that have to be fulfilled. But if the Father's time is the Father's time, and He can make it any time He wants. So, we have to be good watchmen and watch.
Yes. Now, in the context of what you're describing, there, I'm sure there are some listeners that are wondering, well, how can all these people, if they're all on the same side, why are they at war? Well, this is all theater. This is,
yes.
They're following a script to create fear, to get people to be submissive under the threat of,
exactly.
You know,
exactly.
Today the key word is terrorism.
Yes.
But they're creating all of this.
That's it. You can create this so that you can have the solution come in much more easily. People will trip over themselves to say, give us the one world government. Give us the solution to these problems. We'll do anything at this point.
Mm-hmm.
We're losing our pensions. We're losing our 401ks, we're losing our homes, we're losing this and that. Give us the solution to this.
Don't you wonder why people can't see through the insanity? They're promising jobs while the jobs are falling by the wayside, millions at a time. But they're still promising jobs, right? And the bailout, I think they misspelled the word. They should have spelled it B-A- apostrophe A-L,
yes.
Out.
That's right. That's a good analogy, Don. I like that. Yes, and Baal means the father.
Yes.
The Lord, rather. The Lord. The false Lord, but the Lord.
Yes.
See, up there chasing after another father.
Yeah.
Another Lord.
Yeah, and they
it looks good to them.
Yes.
Baal looked good to them.
Yeah, this is just another aspect of the deceit that's being played on the people. And it's all, as I said at the top of the show, and I've said in many shows in the past few months, this is all illusion. This is smoke and mirrors. It's, like you said, problem, reaction, solution. And they dangle these bones in front of people, you know, don't worry, we're going to keep abortion legal. Don't worry, you know, you can follow that path if you choose. And we'll give you health care, and we'll take care of you, and we'll give you jobs, and we'll give you an education.
Yes.
We'll give you high-definition television.
Yes.
That's very important for your survival.
Forget about your religions. Put your Bibles away. Get rid of evidence. Get rid of your... the religion that your ancestors had, get all that stuff, put the scriptures away of all the religions of the world, and let's create this one world religion called humanism.
Yes.
Let's have it. And Don, it sounds good on the face. Isn't that all what we've wanted all our lives? We've always wanted people to get along. We wanted people. It's an ideal thing.
If that was their true intention, but that's not their true intention.
But that's not their true intention. They want to rule as God, the way Satan wanted to rule as God in the end of the first world age. The world government wants to rule at the end of this age, and we're right at the door of the end of this age. It's a Kodak moment, Don. We're living the same exact thing from the end of the first world age now.
Mm-hmm.
That's why, for those that can see in their scriptures, no matter what religion they are, a one-world age before this was destroyed. I hate to use words because I wish my spirit was conveyed to the people listening.
Yeah.
Don't get lost in the words, but you know what I'm talking about. There was a time before.
Yes, this is in the stars too, you know. This is in the constellations, in the planets, in the galaxy, in the universe. This is evident there as well.
That's it. So,
and you're talking about a cycle.
That's all it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
And just the way Satan deceived in the first world, he's doing the same thing at the end. And people say, how did he draw all the sons of God to him in that day? And the same thing today. How is he drawing all the sons and daughters? Because you have to have procreation in this age. In that age, it was just creation. This age is procreation because you have to have children to have flesh entities continue.
Yes.
You need man and woman. In the first world age, they were all of one unisex. There was no need for man and woman. Woman. So, this is happening again in this flesh age, right at the end. He's drawing all the people of the world to him. And he looks real good. He's a looker. He looks real good. But for those that know this hidden fig leaf, they know this hidden agenda that's going on. Some people refer to it as a shadow people.
Yes.
Some people refer to them as reptilians. Some people, it's all energy that's going on under the surface. All that antithesis. It's all that hiding in a strong place.
Yeah.
They always hid there. A snake will hide under a rock. A rock is strong, so he hides under that because he knows he can't get smashed. So this is an analogy of what the Kenites do. They always hide in the strong places. That's why a lot of times you point something out, you say, oh, this is what this is. That's why this Federal Reserve is this and that. But the Kenite is the entity that's hidden within that. They always hide. That's why there's certain people in the world that wear aprons. To remind them of that hidden seed, if you would.
Mm-hmm.
Hidden seed.
Yeah. Joe, we're out of time, but I want to have you back, hopefully this month, to continue this conversation. I'd like to give you the opportunity to make a closing comment so that we can leave the listening audience with something to do in your absence.
Yeah. All right.
And, of course, this is just a suggestion. We're not saying you must do this, but, you know.
Right. The scriptures are very important to me. In that I see the game plan. I see what's going on today. I see the Father, the heavenly creators, the eternal ones' plan. And I would recommend that everyone read it as such when I give this information and compare your notes with notes you have from your belief system. Don't get lost in the words. Because these words that we're reading in English are actually from ancient Hebrew. So, not modern Hebrew, but ancient Hebrew. So, understand that there's meanings of names. The names can be translated. Try to read the first six chapters of Genesis. As it was in the beginning, so shall it be at the end. First six chapters of Genesis. Read it. And try to read it seven times. First six chapters of Genesis. I would read Jeremiah 23 and 24. And I would read Matthew 24 and Mark 13. They both say the same thing. They're a little bit different. But those would be the same seven seals of the book of Revelation, so one would not be deceived, the end times. Let it touch the buds of your mind. If you don't understand something, put it on the shelf, leave it there, and we'll try to do it seven times. Try to read these things seven times, and read it aloud if you can to yourself.
Now, when you come back the next time, will we have a quiz?
Yes, we're going to have a quiz. Yes, it would be a good idea, Don. It would be a very good idea.
Okay.
And I would encourage callers to call in, too, because it's always good to have feedback.
Mm-hmm.
I know your group does not want to be deceived. They study hard, and they chew whatever they take. And, I can see this being very important to us.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
someday,
well,
Don, what I would love to do is touch on key points in every book of the scriptures, just do like a whirlwind tour, things that I feel is important to the beginner, just to give them a rough working knowledge of what's going on, Genesis to Revelation. That would be a starting point for some.
Okay.
They can apply it to the things that they've learned in the past, too. I mean, we're not
sure.
All cookie cutters. We're not all out of the same pattern.
Yes,
and
that's
right.
You're
going to pull the elect from every four corners of this earth, no matter who they are, because they did something in the world age that was very pleasing to the Father. He stood up for them. that meant a lot to him.
Yeah, they took responsibility.
Right.
Okay. Well, Joe, I've got to say goodnight, so I look forward to your next appearance on the show. Folks, you have been listening to Evident Footprints on BBS Radio and our special guest, Joe Church. We'll try to get him back soon so we can get into this topic a little bit deeper. And I want to give a special thank you to Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible, Seth Hendrick on the sound, and most of all you, the listening audience, for tuning in. I will add a small caveat at the end here. I'm working on another piece on Barack Obama, which I'm sure you'll find extremely interesting. And hopefully that will be finished in the next day or so. In the meantime, thanks for tuning in, and I wish everyone out there in the listening audience a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.